Where is he?
Where are you?
Skull Rock. Do you know it?
Hello, this is Stacy over at the Skull Rock Broadcast. I am joined by...
Hello, this is Megan. Welcome back to our Stranger Things podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We are, as always, excited to be here and excited to talk about our favorite show. And we're continuing with our season 3 deep dive.
Yes.
So before we get into that, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. The countdown is on to summer break. My last day will be Tuesday.
Very nice.
So pretty pumped about that. Just, you know, getting by, man. How about yourself?
Good. It's a little weird this year because it's the first year that my job is 12 months. So I'm working all summer. So it doesn't feel, it's kind of like anticlimactic, like the school year is ending, which I'm like, grateful, but now I just have to start planning for next year. So there's not really a break, but I do have a vacation coming up pretty soon, and it'll be like more low-key and chill around school, I think, over the summer. And I was also very excited not to have to worry about finding a summer school job. So
beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. It's just weird and different. And
a different kind of energy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's okay. But we've had lots of fun stuff still going on, especially with Joe doing his shows in the UK and Europe, because I think my favorite, most exciting show so far was the London Night 3.
Girl.
Why do you think that was?
Well, we were actually recording a mini episode, and I was, you know, it was before our guest came on. I'm just, you know, sputtering nonsense, and literally Megan's like, "Stacy, shut up." And I go, "What?"
And I forgot about that.
Apparently, I was like, "Damn, girl." And you went, "Joseph Quinn, Charlie Heaton, and Natalia, how do you say her last
Dyer.
Name? Dyer are at Joe's show." And I'm like, "What?" And it wasn't until after we were done recording that I looked. And yeah, there was footage. And I'm always a huge person of like, don't bother them, don't record them. But thankfully, like the footage I saw from inside the venue, it was all in good fun. Like they weren't anywhere near them, that just the kind of like the phone panned over to them. And you saw Charlie and especially JQ like really pumped up. They were just, you know, doing air pumps in the, you know, fist pumps in the air and just like really like losing their minds and stuff. Two white guys just really vibing out. But it looks like all three of them were having the time of their lives, chilling out, being able to see their friend perform, which must be so damn cool.
Yeah, I just love that the show that we love so much has also like brought them such like lasting friendships, and that they are all supporting each other, and just like that's just so cool to see. So it was very fun to know that like they were, Charlie Heaton was in the audience as Joe was singing Charlie's Garden. Like that was cool. So
yeah, so I'm glad that they did that, and that must have been kind of cool hearing that live. So
yeah. Very cool. Yeah, but I think he was in like Norway today. Like
Norway.
Just like all over the place. Copenhagen was last night as we're recording. We're recording pretty late in the week this week, but it just looks like he's continuing to have such a great time. Today is Javi's birthday. So
happy birthday, Javi.
So yeah, we're enjoying that. And
I guess he saw the artist who did the artwork for Keep Your Head Up.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That was very cool. Like I saw that he was like picture. Well, it was the artist posted a photo of the two of them, and I didn't at first realize who it was. But then I think Joe Daly posted that it was the artist that did the artwork for Keep Your Head Up, which we talked about when we had Eva on, was like such a cool artwork, and we loved that. So
just being a little jet setter. And I know our friend Rachel saw Finn perform.
Cool.
I believe in California. It was Sunday. Said it was a fantastic show because I know he's doing like a little mini tour himself.
Yeah, I think he just had to cancel a show because he was sick, but hopefully he'll be feeling better and get to continue with the rest of the shows. But that's so cool that he's like pursuing the music stuff too. Yeah, we just love seeing all of the actors just and what they're choosing to do next with their careers. So
yeah,
very cool.
Very cool. And the countdown is on. It's 168 days, I think. until the
festivals?
Very first episode. Not the festivals. Girls.
I'm like, what are we talking about, Joe? Or are we talking about Stranger Things?
Of Stranger Things. So the countdown is on. And I know, like, the press tour will probably start, probably, if I had to guess, beginning of November, maybe late October. So it'll be cool to see some of the gang back together again.
Yeah. And we need to, like, map out whether or not we're going to try to finish season 4 and tackle that before the new season starts. I think we can do it.
I think we have time.
For sure. So kind of works out pretty well for us.
I know. Man, look at us.
They just timed it so that we would be finished with
our deep dives. We want the Skull Rock broadcast ladies to be able to finish those deep dives, okay?
Because they've been diving deep. Before the new season. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's very exciting. But I'm equally as excited for more Joe shows, probably.
Adorable.
So.
I know we got the festivals coming up. I know you got a few shows coming up for the Another Bite tour. I know it was announced that he's going to be opening for, how do you say her name, Gracie?
Gracie Abrams, I think.
So, a few shows in Boston. Unfortunately, they sold out within seconds. And I went, And then a few for Canada, which is kind of cool. So, I don't know. Like I said, I was telling Megan before we started recording, for somebody like him performing at the Garden in Boston, huge.
Yeah, huge. That's so cool.
So, I'm really excited for him because the acoustics in there alone... bone chilling. So it's going to be a good show. Anybody who's going, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get started with our season 3, episode 5. Yes. Deep dive. So it's called The Flayed.
The Flayed.
And it was a good one. It's a really
good
one.
It's one of the shorter episodes, definitely. I think it's a little over 45 minutes, but it definitely... a lot happens in those 45
minutes.
Yeah,
well, and I think it seems quick, too, because it's very fast-paced.
Yes.
Yeah. It seemed like very action, like there was a lot of action. There was some definite, like, horror at the end. Like, it was an intense episode and definitely fast-paced because we're kind of building, right? We've been, like, having this, like, mystery set up, but then now things are actually, like, happening, I feel like. So
now we know Billy's definitely possessed, and he can go through brick walls and survive. So shit's going down, but I really love how this one opens. It basically opens to, I believe, one of the funniest scenes in the entire series. It's the Scoop Troop, and they are plummeting
in the elevator. Yeah.
Down. Apparently a never-ending elevator shaft. Hold on one second. That's cool, Stace. I almost deleted all my notes. That would have been great. I would have been like, well, we're going to wing it.
Shake your phone and it's like an undo situation.
Look at, guys, she missed her career at Apple. Just saying. But it shows that actually the secret room revealed, surprise, surprise, at the end of the last episode, that it's actually an elevator. And
right.
I would like to believe that this is how Joe Keery and the gang would handle a crisis. I love him screaming, we're going down, we're going down. And Robin's, no shit, Harrington. Dustin is just screaming bloody murder. And just trying to, like, press the button still in vain, which really, like, watching how fast this elevator is dropping, apparently it's, like, at the Earth center. Like, that's how long that you're like, how long were they dropping for?
Yeah.
And I always think of two movies whenever I think of an elevator plummeting. And they wouldn't be the ones you would think. But one is the opening in Speed. I don't know if you've ever seen Speed.
Uh-uh.
You should. It's amazing. But there is a very tense elevator scene. And then Tom Hanks, You Got Mail, where he's with Parker Posey and an older woman and the bellhop guy, the elevator guy. And literally the elevator gets stuck. And you can tell the elevator guy has no idea what he's doing because he pulls up Buddy the Elf and just hits all the buttons. And he goes, I really hope this doesn't plummet to the basement. And the old woman goes, can it do that? Can it plummet to the basement? You see your Tom Hanks go, no, can't plummet to the basement. So that just made me think of that. And I do love that when it finally stops, it crashes, hey, they all survive that. But what happens to poor Steve?
So all the boxes fall right onto his groin.
He lets the whole damn elevator know that, okay?
His groin. It fell on my groin. So Dustin has to help him
lift it off the kibbles and bits. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he has that crash out moment, which is
so realistic.
Exactly.
Because like, I really like that Erica, like, honestly, I kind of like that the girls are kind of keeping calm and the guys are kind of panicking. And yeah. Robin knows enough, like, is everybody okay? And right away, you know, I'm great now that I know that Russians can't design elevators. And yeah. Erica kind of lets them know the facts. And what does she say?
Yeah, so she is telling everybody that she was supposed to be at Tina's house. So Tina will cover for her. So they don't have to worry about the night. But if she's not back for Uncle Jack's party the next day, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And Steve does not care about Tina or Uncle Jack's party because your mom's not going to be able to find us if we're dead in a Russian elevator. Just the facts, Erica. Just the facts.
And I like that, like, kind of like Dustin thinks, like, oh, we could maybe, like, climb out. And yeah. They use, like, the little hatch on the ceiling to, you know, get out. So him and Steve are on the roof of the elevator. And right away I noticed there's no, like, usually in elevator shafts, there's a maintenance ladder. But we will learn later on in the elevator that these Russians, they cut corners, okay? It's just, you know, drops you halfway to hell. And there's this really, it must have been digital, obviously, but I love that kind of Steve looks up and it looks like they're miles down the shaft. And he's like, what was that again about climbing? And just that really cool digital shot of it lifting up, showing.
Like panning up, yeah.
How
yeah.
up Schitt's Creek they truly are.
So we cut to Joyce and Hopper and they're arriving at the Hess farm.
Are you ready for this? At first I went, because I don't know what locations apparently, Megan, you probably already knew this. I went, is this one of the farms from like season 2, the whole pumpkin thing? Oh no, this is a different farm. There is the Hess farm, which they just arrived at.
Yeah.
Then the two farms that are kind of like clashing is the more quirky farm and then Merrill's Wright's farm. Those are the two pumpkin farms.
Merrill's is the one that I have been to. Like,
been
it
to.
Was actually it's actually where the Hopper's cabin filming location is.
Okay,
is the same farm where they filmed Merrill's farm. It's got like the pumpkin patch and the rotting pumpkins and stuff.
See, that's really cool, and I like that they did that because like it almost showed like no, this is a community, much like how we're always like, how many graveyards are there?
Oh yeah,
like
there's
a town. There's
farms,
multiple ones.
They're checking them off. Like they're checking multiple
one by
farms.
One.
Yeah, and all of these farms are farms that like. They sold to the company that was coming in to build the mall because they wanted the land to like access like the power grid and everything. Mm-hmm. So, but I was wondering if you noticed because I watched it during the day and like it was kind of bright in the room and the TV was kind of dark, but like they said it looks like somebody's home and I couldn't tell if they saw a light on inside or
so
if there was
a car there.
So, the first
thing they saw, there was. I didn't see anything when they were still outside, but when they got inside, they look at a chair and there's an ashtray with fresh, like, cigarette butts in it.
Mm.
And then they start seeing, like, the lights flickering and stuff.
Yeah, I think
that's
they,
what kind
they
of
must,
clued
have,
me in.
Must have seen
maybe a light
like
flicker.
A light outside.
Yeah.
Like a light on while they were outside. Because they
got
pull
you.
Up and they're like, oh, it looks like somebody's home. But I couldn't tell what they were, like, basing that on. But there is, like you said, the lights are on and there's, like, electricity kind of, like, pulsing. They're still
something.
Using their flashlights. And then they start to hear this, like, kind of electronic noise and they're following it. And Joyce ends up figuring out that it's coming from down below. And she sees, like, that light in, like, the weird vent under the bed, which makes them realize that they can lift up
which,
that bed.
What do you call those kind of beds that you can, like...
A Murphy bed.
I had, like, this weird fear as a child about Murphy beds. I never owned one, and I never was at a hotel that had one. But somehow I was like, what if you're making the bed or trying to fold it in, and it, like, literally folds up.
Like, and collapses on you.
And collapses, and you suffocate. I think that's why I didn't want to take apart the bed in Denver when I was like, no. And you're like, Stacy, fucking undo the bed with me. So, I don't know. That was a kind of a fear of mine, but they lift it up, and what do they find?
Stairs. And then, as they see those stairs, we also see a motorcycle arriving at
terrifying.
The farm. Yeah. And then they go downstairs and they find Alexei. We know that it's Alexei.
Yeah.
And
but we
another
recognize
Russian.
Him.
Yeah. We recognize him from the beginning, too, yeah. right? Because he's like one of like the scientists.
He's with like a maintenance guy, but he was from that first scene when they're like, you have a year.
Yeah, exactly. With like the Darth Vader situation. where like they kill his boss, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying. Yeah.
But they're kind of yelling at each other, like Hopper and Joyce.
I love that Hopper.
There's so much yelling in this episode.
There's a lot of yelling.
Does it stress you out?
It stresses me out big time. Usually I find it funny, the yelling, but like Hopper clearly is one of those guys. Somebody doesn't understand him. He thinks if I get louder in the same language they don't understand, they will suddenly understand. So it's, I don't understand you. And I think they would have kept going until finally they would have probably gotten shot. But luckily, Joyce is the like kind of the one that's like, Hopper, and she gets his attention, pointing up to the ceiling, and she's like, listen, and you can hear those menacing
boots.
Yeah, and I love the effect of like the dust coming off the ceiling because you know he's walking over them.
Yes. So they must have acted fast because by the time Grigori gets down, they've tied up the Russians. So
I think they handcuffed him, which I'm sorry. No, they couldn't have because they did the cuffs on Alexei.
So they had the cuffs. The other guy was tied up, I think, but I'm not sure.
Somebody fucking untied him. If not, we won't even go down that avenue.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of gunshots and stuff. It got a little violent.
Hopefully he's okay. But all right. So you probably didn't pick up on this, but this is a bit of a
No.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
I did know. Not Die hard, fucker.
Yes. Look at her call me a fucker. But you know, she said love, guys. Right away, I went, she said she watched it this December. Let's see if she gets that.
I watched it. Let me.
You're
I watched Die Hard, I was like, this is the season 3 thing.
You make me so happy. So happy. Because it's such a cocky thing for like him to say, which
yes.
Hopper's like, excuse me?
So go ahead and explain for the people who might not realize what we're talking about.
Megan, if we were in the same room, Megan would have just punched me out. No, luckily, so, you know, Hopper, what he does is he pulls a gun while the Russian has his head turned, and he's like, put your hands up or I'm going to blow your head off. And basically the Russian goes, no, you're not. You're a policeman. Policemen
have
rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like line by line what one of the German terrorists says to Bruce Willis when he does the same exact thing. Almost like, no, you're not. You know, you're a policeman. You're supposed to live by a code. I'm calling your bluff. But it's just such like, I think this Russian character just like is supposed to like sum up, even though Die Hard was released a few years later, just all of these like macho action movies and stuff.
Yes.
If you know, you know, it's supposed to be, I think, kind of like an homage to that, making you go, ha, Die Hard. So you made me so proud.
Thank you.
Bruce Willis is smiling somewhere on you.
I have it in my notes, all caps, Die Hard.
Die Hard. Good girl.
But yeah, so there's a big fight, and I love how Joyce ends up getting the gun, and then she tries to like toss it to Hopper, but she totally misses, and Grigori's able to get it. Like, I was like, oh no, Joyce.
Yeah,
you were doing so great with your detective skills, but like, not so hot in a fight. And they end up running, but like, they grab Smirnoff as Hopper starts calling him. On the way, and they get in the car, and that was like,
Joyce, drive! I know a lot of people, and I will not name people that have complained, but other celebrities, they had a problem with how Hopper was talking to Joyce in this. Guys, I'm going to say as a woman, I would have probably been doing the same thing.
I just talked to you like that.
Yeah, like, that's love, guys. Like, come on. Megan would have decapitated me. But in moments of stress, and I'm sorry, if that big of a man is going after you with a machine gun, and that person is fumbling, trying to, like, crank the engine, like, you're going to be screaming at the top of your lungs, and it's more realistic that this big bear of a guy, Hopper, is literally like, Joyce, go! So I just love that she just hauls ass, but... it's terrifying. Like, your stomach is in knots at this opening.
Okay. Also, what movie, I feel like, so the whole, with the guy coming out on the porch and shooting at the windows, like, I feel like that happens in, like, so many action movies,
so many.
Too. But I was trying to figure out, like, did that happen in, like, Firestarter?
I mean, it does. Like, the farmer does get shot on the porch when it
happens.
Like,
as they're driving away? though? Does
no.
The, like, the windows get shot out? I was trying to figure out, like, what movie I've watched recently where the windows get shot out like that in the car as they're driving away, but I couldn't figure it out. So
I'm sure there's a million.
Yeah.
But like,
oh, yeah.
Just
and
that,
that's,
like,
again, like, this whole classic action movie type that's, like, an homage to that for sure.
But them driving away and him just, like, you know, walking out and stuff, like, terrifying. Like, they run over the, like, the mailbox, I believe.
Yeah,
Just absolutely terrifying. And it just shows, like, you know, the Russian looks pissed. So he's going to be on the hunt.
The line right before the credits, though, where Hopper's like, do you still think it was our government? So he was kind of like, all right, Joyce, like, it wasn't the government. It was the Russians.
Dude, in which, I'm sorry, 1985, biggest fear. Like,
yeah.
So we open to Jonathan. He's awakened by a call by Nancy, and he looks like he's, like, a little hungover. What did he say? We had a hard night?
I know what this is. It's, okay. So the phone's ringing. Jonathan's sleeping. He doesn't want to get up. And because he doesn't want to get up because it's 6 a.m. It's, like, early. And Joyce is not home. Will is not home. So, I mean, it's summer. I mean, I would be a little concerned that my mom didn't come home. I feel like he knew where his brother was. But anyway, the phone keeps ringing. Like, so he finally answers it. And it's Nancy. And the line is, it's 6 a.m. and I had a late night with Fagin and the gang, which it's an Oliver Twist reference. I did not know this. I've just seen it.
Goodbye.
So, because the day
Oliver
before.
Oliver Twist routine.
Exactly.
What a little bitch.
Yeah. So Jonathan does not really have, like, friends that he was hanging out with late last night.
That's
Fagin.
A level of petty, guys, that literally I'd be like, oh, you're gonna try to say I'm pulling a routine? Well, guess what?
Yeah.
That's the first thing you're getting greeted with.
Yeah.
Team Jonathan. Okay.
Yeah,
continue.
Exactly. I know. Jonathan in this episode was, I was finding it hard to always be on Nancy's side. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I kind of get where he's coming from. But yeah, so Nancy says that she's at the hospital with Driscoll. Like, I'm like, what the fuck, Nancy? Like, really? But she wants to talk to Will. That's really what she's calling about.
Yeah, is your brother safe?
Yeah, and then his face, though, when he's like,
looks terrified.
Why wouldn't he be safe? Like, so he's like, oh, shit.
Maybe they didn't put enough engine oil in because we see, I would like to, like, I know a little bit about cars. I think it overheated and they're in the middle of the woods. Apparently they were going to be on their way to Illinois and it overheated in the middle of the woods. So they probably were like,
I was like, I could never really figure out how they got in the
that
woods
deep
like
in
that.
The woods. Yeah. I'm like, there's no road. So I'm like, somehow they got a magic path and they didn't want to be seen. But they're like, guys, if you look, they are smack dab in the woods. Like, the truck wouldn't have been able to pass by any of those trees. But whatever.
Yeah.
We're reading too much into it. So he's trying to tinker with it. And Joyce is, to the best of her abilities, trying to, like, communicate with Alexi, who's handcuffed to a tree, basically. And is trying to, like, ask why, you know, my magnets on my ice box. Like, I'm a little with Hopper here because, you know, the day started getting hot. And he's like, Jesus, Joyce, you're driving me nuts. And, like, he asks her to, like, you know, crank the engine and stuff. And I just kind of love that they're still, like, snapping at each other. They're pissed.
Yeah. And she starts turning, like, the key to start the car. And
biggest fear.
Alexi realizes that something's off. And he's, like, saying, stop, stop. And Hopper luckily does stop and move away to yell at him. And then the car, like, explodes.
Could you imagine if it killed Hopper? Like, that has been my biggest fear all my life. I always had to be that one holding the flashlight while my dad tinkered with a car. And there were so many times that I was like, if this fucking blows up, it's going to melt my face off. So luckily, Joyce knows to get out. But, like, the entire car basically goes up.
Yeah, because it smokes first, luckily.
Yeah.
And they have time to kind of get away from it. Yeah.
And I just love that Alexi's like, stop.
Yeah. And then I love this part too, because they start walking through the woods now that they don't have a car. And Joyce is like basically asking about Hopper's friend. Hopper's like, he's more like an acquaintance. And she's like, well, he lives all the way in Illinois. Are we walking to Illinois? And Hopper is sarcastically like, yeah, Joyce, we're going to walk to Illinois. But you realize
that mosquito that, going at him.
He's like, yeah. So there's mosquitoes biting and then they kind of like dissolve into smoke. It's such a cool transition. And you realize that Elle was there watching them
located,
as they
yeah.
were like, because she was looking for them to see where they were. And she's like, they're walking to Illinois.
And they're like, what? Illinois? Like,
they're in the woods and they're all very confused, like what Hopper and Joyce are doing. Like they decided to take up hiking or whatever.
I can't. And a typical like trope, the adults are nowhere to be found because they're dealing with their own problems. So it's kind of up to the kids.
Yeah.
And I like that Max like goes into the bathroom, which is the same bathroom where, you know, Mike puts 11 when he's like privacy in season one. And she's kind of examining her throat where Billy grabbed her.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, does it hurt? And she's like, only when I talk. And then, you know, Max is like, well, if you were Mike, it would hurt all the time. Blah, blah, blah. And I love that you can hear them perfectly outside. And
yeah.
The boys are kind of like, they're conspiring against us. And Will is like, are we really doing
yeah.
this right
Will
now?
Will is like done with Mike's shit at that point. Yeah. He's like, I think we have bigger things to worry about than your stupid girl troubles.
Yeah, but, just saying.
But yeah, that they're so cute in the bathroom together. I love that friendship. But Lucas is the one that says that they need to find Billy. And like burn the shit out of him and make sure he doesn't escape this time. And I'm like... Was this foreshadowing for like Vecna? Like burn the shit out of him? But I don't know. They didn't make sure he doesn't escape. So they failed. But
yeah.
Mike is smart and he's kind of like, that's the problem, that they're not going to win because they need to actually stop the Mind Flayer. Like they can't just stop Billy because they got the Mind Flayer out of Will, but the Mind Flayer was able to come back. So they can't just stop Billy. And then Will has the idea that maybe Elle can figure out a way to stop the Mind Flayer.
And I'm like, the whole knock on the door, the way Mike screams up. Like,
well, it was the second time too, because his mom had called down and said that there was like breakfast, I think.
Guys.
And then, yeah.
That would not have gone down at the Stell household. Like, let's just say the late Tony J would have been like, come up here, Stacey, and say that again. And that would have been the real Mind Flayer. So thankfully, for Mike's case, Karen's a little easygoing, but it ends up being Jonathan and Nancy.
And Nancy, yeah. So then we're back in the elevator. And this is another great one because Dustin's like on his walkie calling a code red, but nobody's in range.
Pee the mock up.
Yeah. Is Petey the mock up going to rappel down here?
Oh my God. And I love like Dustin being like, why are you so cranky? And he's like, well, while you two children were asleep, you know, me and Robin kept trying to figure out how to get out of here, but like they haven't gotten to anything. And of course, Dustin's doing the whole like, well, I thought, you know, you got to spend the whole night with Robin. So Steve climbs up on top of the elevator. He's like, would you enough with that stuff? Which right away, Dustin is horrified because Steven does his shorts.
Doing his shorts.
But I do love that, like, that's actually realistic, because I'm sorry.
Yeah, you would have to take a piss in the morning.
You would
sorry.
Have to. And they he's the only one.
Yeah.
He's the only one that has to.
Robin's like, redirect your stream.
I love that she
and
just sees
do
it.
And you do see it move.
Move, and she just looks so disgusted. And Erica is trying to bang open one of those green liquid containers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which does not seem like a good idea.
Yeah, I love it.
But
we'll
she says she's going to drink it. Yeah.
And I'm like,
But then also it was really funny because the Russians end up coming and they're like unloading boxes and they smell the pee.
You smell piss? I'm like, damn, Steve, you got to drink some more water. But I do like that they somehow, like, quickly as cats hit up above, and then Steve gets the idea because he sees Erica holding the green liquid shit, and like a ninja, okay,
he does move fast like a ninja.
He moves fast to stop the elevator door from going down after the two Russians have loaded up their little, you know, golf cart, and it stops the door. And I love that he makes sure everybody goes else first.
Yes, exactly.
And it starts to crack, right?
He's as the he's last one. Under. Yep. And then it cracks and, like, you know, sizzles. And Robin's like, you still want to drink that, Erica?
Yeah. I'm like, girl, that would have been horrific. And this is what gags me. So, but already, the like, those two Russians, the golf cart, they're long gone. But it looks like, yet again, a never-ending mile of a hallway, like, yeah, you can't see the end of it. And he goes, Steve goes, well, I hope we're all in good shape. And he talks to Dustin because
he's looking at your roast beef.
His t-shirt says roast beef. He's looking at you. And I love that Dustin goes to Robin, why me? I would be gagged. I'd be like, oh my God, just go fucking fat. So I do love that they start walking.
Yes. And then we have the whole crew back in the Wheeler basement, and they're talking about what happened to Mrs. Driscoll at the hospital, and they're kind of putting together their timelines of, like, what time that happened in relation to the sauna test.
Yeah.
Because they're theorizing that, like, Mrs. Driscoll was also flayed, and like, Nancy recognized that from, like, what had happened to Will when, like, they were trying to get the mind flayer out of Will. But I did like the little exchange. It was like Jonathan was like, you waited all night to call, because she said it happened around 9 p.m.
Lucas is me. I make an awkward situation worse. I live for the drama.
You waited all night to call, and Will's like, you weren't there, like chastising Jonathan for not being with Nancy. And Jonathan's like, well, I'm here now. And Nancy's like, hallelujah. Sarcastically. And then Lucas is basically like, oof.
Living for this. Like, living for this.
It was great. It was
so
really great.
Good. And I like that they refer to the people who are probably possessed, like Heather and Nancy and Tom, as the flayed. They now have a name.
And that's the name of the episode.
I know. Look at that. And I do like when they get into Nancy's car, which is Karen's new, you know, station wagon, that who gets in the back? It's Will and Mike, right?
Yeah, but before they get in the car, first, they do assume that if there's two, that there must be more.
An army,
and then
probably.
They figure out that Else connects the fact that Heather was probably also flayed because Billy was doing something to her, and she heard, she was scared, and there were bad screams. And Lucas is like, what's a good scream?
What's a good scream?
Doesn't matter. And then also, that's when Nancy.
That's when they really talk about Heather Holloway.
She's like, oh, and then they connect it to Tom. So they've basically, like, connected all of the dots here with, like, who the flayed are.
Yeah, he wasn't on drugs, Nancy. He was on something much worse.
Yeah, they get in the car, and it's Mike and Will that have to get in the back. And Will's like, welcome to my life.
I love that Nancy backs up into the bikes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of blind spots in a station wagon.
Yeah, maybe she couldn't see because the boys were in the back.
Hello?
Yeah. It's not her fault.
Grigory, I'm going to call him the Russian. The Russian finds Hopper's exploded car, and he starts kind of like following their tracks, which I'm like, you're good. Like,
yeah, he's tracking them, basically.
Man.
But then Joyce and Hopper are continuing with their banter. She basically tells him that he stinks, and he's like, oh yeah, go with Alexi, your new boyfriend. And she's like, yeah, every man that I speak to is going to be my new boyfriend. And Hopper's like, he does sort of remind me of a Russian Scott Clark.
I love that literally she goes, he's running. And he's like, what? Yeah. Running. And you just see Lexi's running away, and you hear him go, son of a bitch. So Hopper running after him is my Roman Empire. And you find out that actually he's not running away from them. He noticed something almost as glorious as the Golden Arches. He found the 7-Eleven. Man, which always blew my mind that 7-Eleven, as far as I know, did not have a like promotional thing going with season 3.
Hmm.
They usually do Shark Week, so they probably had their hands full.
Yeah.
But that always blew my mind.
But
I could imagine, like, walking all day in the woods, sweating, getting bit by mosquitoes. That's kind of a haven.
Yeah. That 7-Eleven looked like an oasis to them. Like, I mean, a Slurpee. It's always great in the summer.
Straight to the Slurpee, which I noticed that they first, of course,
Oh, they were
to go and
their
get
Cokes.
Their cans of new Coke, which I'm like, and I love
I'm
that.
I'm sure
hot
it was cold and refreshing.
It was cold, and Lexi is sampling the Slurpee first with his fingers, and then, you know, he just makes himself one. And the clerk is like just watching, and I love that he puts down pack of cigarettes, the Cokes, and like a huge Slim Jim. Huge.
But the clerk asks if he's some kind of bounty hunter, and Hopper's like, no, I'm a cop. I'm undercover.
But then Joyce is outside. Bounty hunter more than that shirt.
Yeah, Joyce is outside on the payphone calling Karen to check in, which luckily, I mean, he was still fine at that point. They had just left to go to the movies.
Notice no other parent does this.
Yeah.
Only her.
Yep. Yeah.
Good job.
Joyce is on top of things. Yeah. But just then.
Oh, man.
There's a very special car that pulls into the parking lot.
Yeah, I believe it's a Cadillac. I want to say it's a Cadillac.
It's a yellow convertible.
It's a yellow convertible caddy. And it's got the license plate Todd Father. So we'd like to believe that the driver's name is Todd.
It is.
And, oh, yeah. He asks him, yeah. And I love that Hopper, like, right away, he almost, like, just bullshits his way into into the car.
Yeah.
And he's saying that he's going to need his vehicle, that he, you know, he flashes his badge. Lexi is, like, happier than a clam sipping on Slurpee.
But, I mean, he does have handcuffs.
He does have handcuffs. And right away, he's like, I have to transport this prisoner. And he goes, he doesn't look like it, but that is one of the most dangerous men. And, you know, he's just laying back drinking a Slurpee, and he's like, he is a child murderer.
Yeah.
Which kills me, because when Joyce comes over, of course, they're like fumbling over their like why
story. Yeah.
And right away she's like, forgerer, and he's like, child murderer, and she's like, child murderer, like, whoa, Hop, you got a pole vaulted to that one. And I love that right away, like, he gets me on the wheel, and Todd's like, well, what station do I go to get my car? And it always makes me think of this movie. I'm sure you haven't seen it, but it's called So I Married an Axe Murderer with Mike Myers. And there's a scene where literally somebody's like, I need to take your... There's some special word for it, but it's like, I need to take your vehicle.
Commandeer.
There you go. And literally the person goes, no. And the cop's like, but I'm pursuing a killer. And they go, no. And it's just them arguing back and forth. But I love that right away, Hopper, like, what he does is... he turns up the radio and he just like mumbles something. He doesn't give a number. He doesn't like or anything. And he's like, ooh, that sounds good. And literally he's like, wait. Because then Todd starts realizing, wait a second. Maybe my car is getting fucking stolen. And they just drive away. And I live and be like, shit.
Yeah. I think he's standing there with like a Slim Jim in his hand. But I might be making that part up. I'm pretty sure Hopper handed him the Slim Jim.
Yeah, this is a fair trade. Imagine, like, you finally locate your car, it's smashed to shit, and all you got was a Slim Jim.
Yeah. But we go back to the Scoops troop, and they're still walking down the hallway, having a little chat. And the girls are actually kind of, like, putting some stuff together. Like, well, I guess it's Robin and Dustin kind of talking. And Robin figures out that maybe the green stuff is like powering something. They had this whole conversation about Prometheus and Prometheum. I was Steve in that situation. Yeah. it was going over my head. But
I love you're all so nerdy. He's like, don't loop me in with them. Afraid you're going to lose some cool points by a 10-year-old. And you see him look.
Yeah. But when Robin is like, well, what I'm wondering is like, why Hawkins?
Why Hawkins?
That's when the boys are like, oh,
and I love that they fall back and they're like, do you think it has anything to do with the gate? Which, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and Robin's like, you know, is there anything you'd like to share with the class? And while they're stopped long enough, and this is also like while they're talking in the hallway, that's when literally like Steve's like, there's no fire exits. There's no safety. Like, you know, halfway to hell. And, you know, Erica's like, they're commies. Like, they're going to cut corners. And the look on Steve's face. But just at that exact moment, they kind of hear the radio, the walkie-talkie. And they're like, oh my God, we might be like closer to the surface or be within radio range that somebody up top could hear. So they're thinking, we just got to go a little bit further and hopefully send an SOS.
Exactly. So I kind of forgot about this part. The crew, I was calling them. So like Jonathan, mm-hmm. Nancy, Lucas, all of them, right? Yeah. They break into the Holloway house, basically.
Thanks, Eleven.
Because nobody's home. And they first find all of the cleaning products in the kitchen.
Girl.
That it looks like they must have been consuming, which gross. But yeah. Then they also walk into the dining room and it's basically left exactly how it was when Max and Elle were there. And then you see the bottle of wine with blood. Nancy finds blood on the carpet. So it's very Nancy Drew here.
Yes.
And then they continue to find these clues. But then also I like the editing. It's like cut with like
what really happened
with Billy, yeah. And like them tying up Heather's parents and like putting them in the trunk. And then they figure out, I think it's Will, that, well, somebody says that they need to find like the source of where this is all happening. And Will is like, well, why don't we let Miss Driscoll go there? Like, if she wants to go so bad, let's let her go. And that's when they decide to like go back to the hospital.
Which was their plan, like breaking out this elderly woman from the hospital. Was that the original plan?
Correct. Yes. They were going to, like, that's what they were going to do. They were going to let her and, like, follow her back to the source, I guess. Yeah.
Not childhood endangerment. Elderly endangerment.
Senior citizen.
Yeah, endangerment. Oh, my God, people. Like,
I know. Jesus. These plans are all a little over the top sometimes.
I mean, yeah, maybe not thought out that well. I remember, and I thought it was really cool when you see the back of that refrigerator tipped over. It looks like something's clawed through it.
Ooh.
That was kind of cool. And so I guess fridges might have chemicals in them to keep it cool,
I guess. They do. Like the refrigerant. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, damn. Like a little late night snack.
Yeah.
But I do like that the Russian is like, and you don't know how far behind he is. Probably not by much, but he gets there. And by then the cops are there because Todd put two and two together that he was had. So the Russian goes inside the 7-Eleven. And right away he sees, like, Todd having a breakdown talking to the cops.
Yeah, yeah.
And he asks, I believe he has snowballs or Twinkies.
Yeah, which if it's, something like that.
If it's fucking snowballs, that's another diehard reference. Or the Twinkies. Because remember the cop?
Yeah.
You know, they're for my wife. She's pregnant. And he's like, yeah, big time. So right away the guy, unfortunately, sasses off to the wrong person. Because he's like, listen, I just already talked to the cops. And the Russian slams his head down. Thank God there was a Hostess pastry to cushion his face.
It. Yeah.
Damn. And basically is telling him, like, give me, like, you know, the description of the plates and this and that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like,
but then Joyce and Hopper get to Murray's, like,
which
bunker.
We have last seen in season two. Yeah.
Yes, when Nancy and Jonathan. And there's a lot more yelling in this scene.
I kind of love
basically
that Joyce,
what I wrote down.
Yeah, Joyce ain't putting up with this shit. Like, right away, right off the bat. And I do like when she's like, he's certifiable. And when you just see Hopper being like, glass houses, Joyce.
Yeah.
Pot calling the kettle black. You know, like, with the metal detector, kills me every single time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it only gets funnier at that location. But basically, like, you find out, like, Murray speaks fluent Russian. So
yes.
Works
that's
out.
Why they went there for sure. Is that the last we see of them this episode? I think it is.
I believe so, because the next episode is the whole antique chariot wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
So good.
And then getting the wrong flavor Slurpee and all that.
I love it. The Burger King and the 7-Eleven are nowhere near each other in town. Never said they were. Poor hot. I'd be able to break down too.
But we get back to the Scoops Troop, and I know you love this scene. You got a tattoo from this scene.
I did. I just love them because I guess like they even talked about it. They're like, we had to squat down. They go, it looks like it's a 2 second moment. They were like, oh no, you have to stay in that position forever with the lighting and the setting up and the this and the that. But they kind of get to the main base where there is quite a lot of Russians in uniforms, and they're like hiding behind stuff watching. And I love that Dustin goes Red Dawn, because man, if a movie in the 80s was going to make you scared of those people, it was Red Dawn. And this, I don't know why it took me so long to notice after years of watching this. I'm like, look at Steve's hair. It's got highlights in it. I don't know. I was a fan.
Yeah. He did look pretty attractive in this
sun-kissed scene.
Yeah. But they, Erica sees the comm room, she says. So yeah. That's where they decide to go, where all the radios would be. And I love when they go in and they get past everybody, but then they go in and the guard or the guy at the radio is just like looking at
them.
The
look on their face with Steve like kind of like bent over, like closing the door. And Robin tries to like
use the Russian from the code.
It's so awkward. I love that like Steve kind of knows where this is going. So he just screams and attacks the guy. And luckily, he's able to grab like a microphone and knock the guy out. And what does Dustin say so proudly?
You want to fight. You did it.
So proud. So proud.
Yeah. But Steve's little moment with like the hair flip. It's very hot.
It's when it's right. It's right, guys. And that's when they start like they hear noises and they see blue lights. And they kind of go up these stairwells and they look out through plexiglass and they see the machine, this version of the machine, and the gate. Mm-mm, not good. Bad news bears.
Yeah. Yep. So they could just kind of like look at each other because that's the last moment for them this episode too, I think.
Yeah.
Because basically the rest of the episode is at the hospital. And I forgot that this happened. This all happens right at the end of this episode because it starts out kind of funny. Like they get to the hospital and there's that lady at the desk and they just try to walk by her.
Yeah.
Whoa, 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 like, whoa. Hold up. But
I do love we're all Miss Driscoll's family and you just see Lucas go extended. So good.
But Nancy, it was kind of sweet, her being like, this is my family. But she's like, no, two visitors at a time. So it's basically Nancy and Jonathan going up the elevator while the kids wait around in the waiting
room. Near the vending machines where all the action's at.
But Jonathan and Nancy have a sweet moment in the elevator. And it's kind of like they're making up, like both saying like Nancy's like, I didn't really mean that stuff. And Jonathan's like, yeah, I was pretty darn wrong about it. And Nancy's a little vindicated. She's like, don't doubt me ever again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was sweet.
Yeah.
And also, I love the kids getting snacks from the vending machines and what mm-hmm. happens with that part.
So just classic luck. There was a vending machine at my college that always got stuck and you had to shake the shit out of it. And one time I was doing it and like the president of the college came in. Looking back, I should have been like, this should be free. But I like that, you know, right away Mike and Lucas are like, son of a bitch. I think it's their Kit Kat and stuff.
Kit Kat gets stuck, yeah.
And right away, like, there's a little, and you can tell it's 11 because she's wiping her nose. And I love that, like, Lucas goes, that was it. Like, that was your olive branch.
Yeah, well, because all the snacks fall down.
All of them. Like yeah. Girl. Like,
so
man.
11 used her powers to, like, you know, get the snacks for them. And Luke, I love Lucas's like shrug, like, okay,
yeah.
I'll take that.
Sure. Yeah.
But he's trying to give Mike some relationship advice because Mike is clueless. Like, he's like, what? So he's like, go talk to her.
Yeah. And he, you know, I do like that, you know, Mike awkward kind of sits down next to Elle and he offers her some M&Ms. Not really a big fan of the plain M&M. Meh.
They're fine.
Chocolate in general. Like, I've had some that have peanut butter in them.
How do you feel about the blue replacing the brown?
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. So there used to be brown M&Ms. But then, like, when we were, I don't know, like, early teens, like, late childhood, like, there's a blue one that replaced the brown one.
What a little turd. Wow. Yeah. I just remember those commercials all the time.
Yeah. But also, I felt like it was a really, like, it was a contrast here because the kids were having, like, sweet little moment in the waiting room eating candy, like, just messing around playing while it's, like, horror
show going
upstairs.
On a few floors up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do like that, like, Mike has that moment with Elle where he, like, you know, compliments her new look, you know, because she's rocking one of those new outfits she got. And, you know, right away, he's like, does your speech like M&M's?
I know, that was cute.
So very, very cute. But like you said, there's a horror show going on upstairs. What's going on?
Yeah. So they go into Mrs. Driscoll's room and she's gone. And Tom and Bruce are
I love that I kept calling Bruce Chuck. Who the fuck is Chuck, guys? No idea. But no, it's Tom and Bruce from the Hawkins Post.
And obviously they're both flayed, which I guess Tom must have done it to Bruce. It was spreading.
Girl.
Okay. I mean, I guess he could have taken it him and Billy did it, but I don't know. Kind of like
worse.
Heather no. did it to her parents, right? Like
there's no good way to imagine any of this happening.
But they start chasing them, basically.
It's terrifying.
It's awful.
With the lighting and stuff.
I hate this part because it's very, like, scary. But you can tell that they're connected because, like, when Nancy or Jonathan, like, do, like, hit one of them, the other one's, like, holding the back of their head.
Which I kind of like that it's a hive thing. I know you haven't seen the movie Sinners yet. It is really good. I know you're not a horror movie fan, but that's one thing, like, they come to figure out very quickly that all the vampires are, like, connected. So if you hurt one, they all hurt. Mm. So this was kind of cool that they did that, especially with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah,
that must have hurt.
And the part where Bruce starts doing like Marco Polo,
no,
and then no. Nancy's like Polo, like it's him, like,
which threw me off so bad. The actor who plays Tom, he's in the first season of You.
Oh, is he?
He's very handsome.
What does he play in that?
He plays the girl that he's obsessed with's dad. Remember, like pays for her to wear the Renaissance dress and stuff. That's her, like whatever her name is, dad. So very handsome guy, but in this, terrifying. And them just calling her Nancy Drew.
Oh, like the long lost, like the dad that she goes to like visit.
Yeah, with the new family and stuff. And they go to the rent fair.
Okay.
Yeah, right away I went, is that Tom? So
Yeah.
Which cracked me up. My friend gave me actually that creature of Tom and I almost said Chuck again, Tom and Bruce. And literally my friend Melissa went, Stacey, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, no, it's like, I don't, like, it freaks me out even taking pictures
of
it.
It's so gross.
It looks disgusting.
It's a Funko Pop.
Yeah.
Also, this is, I just kept thinking about Keep Your Head Up. Is that the song? Who's That Old Bruce? Why Are You Still So Wise? It's like,
it all comes back to Joe
Lady. There's the Bruce Joe was talking
about. There he is.
You're
like, not Chuck, Stace.
But also the scissors in the neck was probably the worst.
Ew.
Was that Jonathan?
Ew. Yeah.
Yeah, with Tom.
He was protecting his lady, okay.
And which one was like, go to hell? Nancy?
Nancy.
Yeah. It was very cathartic to see her be able to like fight these guys. Like, obviously, they were not themselves anymore.
No,
but like,
but, you know, ask me to make another fucking cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly. So once they're like dead, then they just kind of like start to combust.
It's so gross.
And
it's
like
such body horror.
Ooze out. It's
yeah,
because
they're like,
bleh, 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 bleh. Yeah, like bubbling.
Imagine like you just got a colonoscopy and you're in one of those rooms and you're trying to stay quiet because like shit's going down and you're just waking up. You're kind of high and you just see these two men melt into what's best described as like a flesh monster.
Yeah. And then they like merge together. And I love how like Nancy and Jonathan are each on either side of
opposite
it.
Opposite sides.
Like,
yeah.
Looking at each other. And that's how it ends.
It just roars at them and it cuts to black, which I forgot that's how that episode ends.
And that is in the trailer. Do you remember when we watched the trailers for season
three? It's a
good
shot. It's a good shot.
Yeah.
But you're right away like, what's that? Oh, if you think that's bad, wait until you see. Like,
yeah.
But that's a great way to end an episode. Like you said, it's a shorter episode, but it doesn't feel that bad because it like so much is going on.
Exactly.
But that cliffhanger, if you could imagine, like imagine you couldn't stream it and you had to wait the next week or, you know, God knows when. So
that
very
would
cool.
be. And I guess that's sort of how they're going to do it for season five, because it'll be like the first four episodes and I bet there's going to be a cliffhanger and then we'll get like the second like half except for the last one. So I think it's going to be like 4-3-1.
I already have my theories, which we will discuss closer to, that I have a feeling the Duffer brothers are going to do some mental warfare. They're going to know exactly what they're doing with this cliffhanger, especially the one from November 26th to Christmas, the longest wait. That one, they're going to be like, I'm going to put your stomach in a knot for over a month.
And also, it comes out on Thanksgiving, right? You know how I'm a psycho and I kind of don't want to watch it all on Thanksgiving night. So I kind of want to watch it like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's coming out the night before Thanksgiving, I found out.
Oh, yeah. So I guess I'll watch Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Just stay off the internet and you'll
then
be fine.
Then we can record on Sunday and talk about it.
Beautiful.
And then... then we can go on the internet and be safe.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
my heart's in my throat.
I know. But like, will I be able to stay off the internet is the question. But I think it'll be worth it.
It will be.
Yeah.
You know I'm going to watch it all in a row, but I'll keep my mouth shut no matter how horrifying it is.
It'll be like, I'll watch one on Wednesday, one on Thursday, and then I'll probably have to like watch the other two on Friday.
It was funny. Melissa actually went, are you guys going to watch it together? And I go, fuck no. I go, we've already established. We need to be in the zone when we watch this.
Yeah.
Because if I crack one goddamn joke when Megan's supposed to be watching it, she's going to look like Tom and Bruce at the end of this episode. And
exactly.
That's it. That's it, folks.
Yeah, we're watching it by ourselves in silent room, dark room.
Nobody
I don't know
can
what
talk.
I'm gonna do with my husband, but he can go somewhere.
Yep. You lock him outside. He's like, it's really cold out. You're like, don't worry, you'll be fine.
Just stay out there with Leia.
Yep. Nobody make don't move, don't breathe. But
it's his own fault for not watching it. But I wouldn't want to watch it with him either. So that was a really fun episode.
Yes.
I thought. Very action packed. I hated the end. That's like my least favorite part of the season, but I mean it makes sense narratively. So
yeah, it serves its purpose and it's a perfect segue into the next episode where
and
you think this was gross, wait until the next episode.
Absolutely. Also, I feel like I've seen somewhere like behind the scenes or an interview of them like talking about making that. And it's just an intense fight sequence. And I feel like Nancy or Natalia and Charlie, like, I feel like there was like no air conditioning or something and it was hot. And they're just like, you can tell that they're just like sweating and that's like real. Like, and
especially with like her eye makeup, she has like eyeliner on. It just like, it's totally believable. You wouldn't stay pristine and pretty. Like, you know, she's gorgeous no matter what, but it's her eyeliner and stuff. It almost looks like little raccoon eyes. And it's just like, it's, I love body horror. I love stuff that's gross like that. But something about the mind flare.
Yeah. Gross.
It's chemicals and flesh. It's gross.
Yeah. But we're doing pretty well with our season 3 deep dive.
We're trekking along.
It, and it's so much fun and definitely has the summer vibe and summer feels. So
yep.
It's been great. And we'll continue that next week. But we kind of mentioned a little bit about just like the anticipation for season 5. So that's definitely forefront, I feel like. Hopefully
it feels
we'll get
unreal
more soon.
That we have dates now.
I know. It still hasn't really sunk in completely for me, but
no.
I guess it still feels like we have plenty of time, but like I feel like that's going to start feeling less and less, obviously.
Next thing you know, it's going to be like end of September. We're going to be like, whoa.
Because the summer always goes by fast, even though like you don't want it to go by fast. So, end of September, we're going to be like, hold up.
We got some ideas. You know, we got some stuff planned and stuff.
Yeah.
But we're not even going to touch upon it because we clearly have to finish this season and season 4. And we really want to take the time to give these seasons the attention that they deserve.
Yeah.
So definitely got a lot of cool ideas.
I don't want to rush through it, but I do feel like we have time. So we might as well do the season 4 because that will get everybody, like listener wise, like ready for season 5. So there was like some date, I forget what it was, but there's some date if you start watching season 1 over again and watch like one episode a day, it'll get you to like season 5.
Isn't that
and
crazy?
I might try to do that. We'll
see. That might be cool to do it that way too, you know, just as a nice refresher.
Yeah. But we'll also like deep dive for season 4 and that'll be fun to get excited for season 5.
The season that started it all for Miss Megan.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I've talked about this before, but I didn't even rewatch the first three seasons. I just sat down. I had seen them all once, right? Sat down, put on season four, and my life was forever changed.
Look at you. I love it. I love it.
Because then I watched it all the way through. You know, that was in May. July came around, watched volume two. And then I like immediately started it over again and watched it like watched just season four on a loop for like at least three times.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went back all the way to the beginning and watched the whole thing on a loop. I think maybe twice. And then I started reading fan fiction. So that was the game evolution.
Game over. I will never forget, guys, for Fan Expo Philly. Like, I found out you were going to be there. And, like, I literally, I was acting like I was meeting Elvis. I was like, oh, my God. It's Study Stories. Little did I know. But literally, yeah. I was like, oh my God.
I started reading fan fiction, and then I made my Instagram. So that's the origin story.
Man. Yeah. And I just like, you know, I just remember picking your brain about it, being like, oh, were you a huge fan? You're like, something about that season just, you know, grabbed me.
Because that was September when I made my Instagram. So from July to September was me hyper fixating on season four, then the whole show, then finally reading fan fiction, and then made my Instagram. So, yeah.
And then you met this charming, charming
person. Then I
met
Stacey.
Yeah. And you're like, man.
And then the podcast was born.
There you go. I mean, so yeah, it's going to be interesting because, like I said, I was a huge season three is what really made me the big fan. But I remember, like, with the pandemic and everything, like, there were those leaked photos of, like, you know, the gang leaving Family Video and, you know, like, Erica and, you know, Steve outside of, you know, the war zone and me seeing the photo of Eddie being like, yeah, okay. And that was about it. But then the, I know, if only I knew. I'm like, dude, like, trying to be the next Billy. And I'm like, I'm an idiot. And then I'll never forget, it got spoiled for me about a month beforehand about Dagger filming.
Yeah. And but it wasn't really that big of a.
It wasn't huge because, like, I knew what a huge ordeal that character was and how big Dagger had become from that season. So I was right away like, oh, is this going to be a nightmare or something? This is crazy, you know, like a flashback because all you saw was he filmed in Australia.
That's
on
what I was
like,
going to say. That's crazy that that got spoiled because it's like it wasn't even in Georgia. Like,
pissed. Yeah. And like it sucked, but definitely the ending part was much better. And I have seen, which, you know, I know you've been avoiding, which has been so hard. There has been some stuff and like it's really gotten me down. But a coworker of mine was like, for all you know, the Duffers could be doing this on purpose. They could be pulling
a
Star Wars.
Yeah, and there's no context. Like, yeah, I've seen things, but not. I have no context for them.
Exactly.
So I'm just like,
they could be filming stuff to just throw off the scent, which if they did do that, that's ingenious. I know with some movies, they film multiple endings. So you never know. But like we said, we try to stay spoiler free and stuff, but we're definitely going to be pretty pumped as we're counting down, you know, the months and the days, the weeks, you know, the seconds. Till we get to see season five.
All right, merch. Do you have any merch to talk
about?
Merch.
Okay. So I actually ordered you and I two little prints from our buddy Kelly. She does Jokiri Daily. She has a great Redbubble, and it's a print of basically all of the Crux songs. She did
like
one before
tapes.
For Decide. Yeah, the cassette tapes. She's so
really
good.
Cute.
I own a lot of her work, so it was just adorable. And then also what I will be getting pretty soon is a friend of mine, what, did you ever get any of the, you know, the Dorito bags when season four happened? Because I guess they did this event where it was like live in the Upside Down and stuff. I missed it. But they were like, I have an unopened bag of 3D Doritos, and Stacey, I know you're weird and you will never open them. And I went, oh my God. So they're gonna try to send them to me, so I'm pretty pumped about that, guys.
That's exciting.
Anything promotional I absolutely love, especially stuff like that that you're never gonna see again.
Yeah.
I always make fun of it. I'm always like, this is getting odd. I literally always tell Megan the story. I'm in Walmart back in May of 2022, see the big popcorn tin, and I go, this is getting fucking out of control, as I pick it up and put it in my cart. So there
and
you
then
go.
You eat it 3 years later. And,
oh, girl, that was a
which
mistake.
Was a choice.
You don't ever do that. But I also got from Boo Mail today, the Gap tooth smile earrings.
Oh, the little apple earrings. Yeah, so cute.
So adorable. So as of right now, I have all of that. I know I sent you a package, which we might be doing live for, depending on how you're feeling.
I think maybe as soon as we finish here, we can go live for a little bit.
Yeah. So it's got some goodies that hopefully you like. But
I'm excited to open it.
Yeah. Hopefully you enjoy it. But yeah, I'm just really, really pumped, guys, especially when the season 5 merch starts trickling in. My debit card's going to be screaming at me. But it's just funny that we're still getting waves of merchandise from season 4 and even season 3.
Right. And I feel like soon we're going to get more promo stuff for season 5, which I'm sure will be super fun to talk about. And
I know.
Like for you to collect. So that'll be fun.
Buckle up.
All right. Well, this was a really fun episode today, as always. We thank you for listening. I mean, I don't think you would be starting on this episode, but if for some reason this was the first episode that you listened to, make sure that you find us on social media at Skull Rock Broadcast. I'm at Steady Stories. Stacey is at Stay Still Reviews. Mm-hmm. And yeah, even if you've been listening for a while and you haven't reached out, we always love chatting about the episodes. And we have bonus content available on Patreon as well, and you can support our show there. But other than that, we will talk to you next week.
Over and out.
Eddie, I'm not sure if I love the idea of you driving.
Oh, I'm starting to suffer. Harrington's got her. Don't you, big boy?
And we are back.
We're back.
So, again, if this is your first time listening, this is our secret segment, our secret steady segment, which is where we talk about fan fiction, especially Steve Harrington and Eddie Munson, which we love them both individually, but we also, you know, like them to be boyfriends. Disclaimer, we know fan fiction is not for everyone, so if you aren't into that, you don't have to listen. We'll talk to you next week. And if you want to stick around and hear about what we've been reading, feel free. So, Stacey, what have you been reading?
I'm going to hold back. I may or may not have read a really long fan fiction where maybe Steve Harrington gets abducted by an alien and that alien is Eddie. And there might be tentacles and there might be probing. I don't know. I'm not going to get into it.
I don't think you read that one.
But it might have happened. But I also read one called Pando. I was just telling Megan about it. Interesting. Kind of a body horror kind of romance about how basically like spores grow all over. Like, he's basically a living mushroom. And, like, just use your imagination. The romance between him and Steve were great. But, like, let's just say there was some weird body stuff.
Whatever floats your boat,
if Stacey, I'm saying,
no
if I'm
judgment.
Saying, no judgies. But if I'm saying it's weird, like, he got really fucking weird. But I was like, I'm telling my coworker about this. And she's like, I just asked you how the weather was. And I'm like, yeah. And then the mushrooms come out. So, yep. So, read that. And I am in the bare beginning of Scorpio Skies, which have just been, it's rewired my brain chemistry. It's absolutely gorgeous. I'm obsessed.
So good.
Cannot wait to keep reading it. So beautifully written. So
yeah.
I'm really having fun. What about you?
I forgot to mention that I went and saw Pavements again, which you're going to go tomorrow, right?
Yep.
So I'm excited to talk about that. But that made me think of it because my friend that I went with, we were on our way home. So, of course, I'm like talking about everything and deciding that it was the greatest idea in the world to tell her all about this fan fiction that I've been reading.
Love that.
Which I'm obsessed with. It is called Steve and Eddie's Tryst Through Time. I don't know the author off the top of my head, but I feel like that's a pretty unique title. So you should be able to find it. And it is just so unique to me because I was telling Stacey right off the bat, you have Steve and he is in 2023. Like, he's 19 years old. So he's like a Gen Z, and he ends up going through with his car through a portal.
Very Back to the Future.
Into 1985.
Does he drive a modern car?
Yes, but it's
hilarious.
Like, not super noticeable, but it has like a screen. So the guys are like, why does your car have a fucking TV in it?
Bye.
Yeah. Eddie and the corroded coffin guys are like the ones who find him, and kind of Eddie like takes him in. But it's just such a cool contrast, because you've got like the elements of like a modern AU with Steve, and he's basically a time traveler. And like, then you've got like the 1985, and then it's got a lot of like Stranger Things kind of like mashup, like some season two, like Steve trying to like find Dustin's cat kind of stuff.
Cool.
And then like the mall and the Scoops Ahoy season three type stuff. Like, so it's a cool plot, but also like just the like slow burn of it all between Steve and Eddie is just like so on point and has me so invested that I'm like obsessed. So it's been a long time since I've like been like this like into a story and like reading it so quickly. So loving that for sure. That's
love
where
that.
I'm at right now.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Highly recommend. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me reading this week.
Love it.
I'll probably, you know, finish that and then go into like a slump because I'll be so sad that it's over. But
I know there's nothing worse than when you finish a really great story and you're like, what do I do now?
Like when I'm only halfway through and I'm already sad that I'm already halfway through, and I'm like, what am I going to do with myself when this is over?
Yeah.
And I have some like kind of theories about like what's going to happen, but it's also kind of like a, you don't like, is he going to go back to the future? Like, is he going to stay? Like, I don't really know. And like,
either he better take Eddie's ass back, or he better stay, either or.
Right. Like, I have so much like angst about that. So it's definitely got me like hooked.
Yeah.
So,
sounds great.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it.
Sounds good.
We'll catch you on the flip side.
Catch you on the flip side.